Today's news is
exactly
on the hookup, things go in pee holes. And what goes in pee holes? Metal. Isn't like they make cars out of metal. And they make rocket ships out of metal. And they make sex toys out of metal. Really little ones that go inside your pee hole.
Warning, adult content.
The hookup. Love and f***ing. On Triple J.
Sounding. It's when you insert a rod into your urethra for sexual pleasure. And it's kind of as intense as it sounds. I'm Nat Tenchich, and soon you'll hear from Mistress Tokyo on what's involved with this act and why it might be best left to the pros. But first, our producer James Finlay went along to a sounding workshop to find out firsthand how it all happens.
I think it's actually how much can they fit in their cock. I've had one or two clients that just like, get the big one in, get the bigger one, get the bigger one in.
I've arrived at this very dark kind of warehouse. It's full of people who are here for all kinds of workshops. I'm in a room now, which is the medical space. There's a little sign up above the door. There's a massage table that's in the place of where a pool table usually is. Mistress Tokyo is here prepping her tools, and she's in this incredible latex nurse's outfit, fishnet stockings and heels that are so high they would not pass any OH&S regulation anywhere, especially in a hospital. And in the corner is Tokyo's slave, waiting to be called upon. And yet, there are only a couple of people here who have penises, well, as far as I'm aware, but the majority are cis women who I think are probably sex workers.
I've been sounding for some time now, and I've had a catheterization demonstrated to me several times.
I'm Mistress Ava. It's really popular. I get a lot of guys that want that.
What do you hear from your clients, like what the sensation is that, you know, the sounding gives them?
So I guess it's that thing of it's giving up control is the main thing. So I get a lot of clients that they work very stressful jobs, they're very professional, and they have like all the control in their jobs. So they come to me to give up that control. So that's the main, I guess, mental sensation. As for physical, a lot of them, they really enjoy it, and yeah, they just love it.
Okay. The class is about to start. I'm not allowed to record it because most of the people here don't want to be identified, but this place is packed.
That's a great round of applause.
Okay, so the class has just finished, and let me just tell you how it happened. So the slave was laying on the massage table, and there was a towel over his eyes too to shield him from the light. Now, while Tokyo was sliding the rod down his dick, she was watching his breathing to gauge his pain threshold, like whether he could take it or not. Because if he was in too much pain, she'd stop, I'd assume. It didn't happen. But the rod just slid in so easily too. Like, it's about a 20-centimeter rod that is a few millimeters thick, and it was just slowly being slid down his dick. It had lube on it, of course. And it was then just being slowly moved up and down, like pretty much like the rod was having sex with the inside of this guy's dick. And he didn't even flinch once. I still feel quite queasy about the whole thing, and like not much shocks me, but everyone else was just casually taking notes, and I was just sitting here holding my breath. Anyway, let's go and see how Tokyo feels the class went.
I love teaching people how to be safe, sane, consensual kinksters. I think the thing about sounds and catheters is people don't understand that it can be genuinely dangerous. The readiness of the availability of a toy doesn't necessarily mean that you should just run into an activity without skilling up. It's like, you know, if you buy a 1300cc motorcycle as your first ride, you know, you've got to be careful.
This is a practical demonstration. There was your slave, or one of your slaves, I guess, here on the table.
Yes.
How important is it to show these things practically?
Mandatory. Absolutely mandatory. As I said, sounds and catheters, particularly sounding, people overlook how dangerous it could be if it's done poorly. So I set up this workshop so that people could essentially become disabused about the practicalities of doing sounds and catheters and see that it can be done with relative ease if one just gives a nod to safety precautions and cleanliness and things like that. But you cannot basically really learn anything unless you understand how it's to be done and then replicate it. It really is best, as with anything, is to learn in a private lesson, one-on-one, with an experienced and regarded pro-dom, master or mistress or someone who's regarded in your scene, just so that you can feel what it's like to actually insert a piece of steel into someone's genitals and feel what it's like to insert a piece of silicone or latex-covered silicone catheter into someone's urethra. And then, of course, you know, play with it, and then, of course, remove it in a way that's safe and clean. People still think that it's so specific that maybe they don't want to speak about it, or they are concerned about playing it. So that's, yeah, so come to the workshop.
So I guess you've witnessed this a few times, so I guess nothing really shocked you today then?
No. The most shocking thing today was the height of Mistress Tokyo's heels.
That they were very high.
That's the most shocking part of today for me.
The Hookup on Triple J.
Producer James Finlay reporting there. And now you have a bit of a picture of what sounding is. And if you're listening thinking sliding a steel rod down your dick hole sounds real dangerous, then, yeah, you'd be right. We're going to get to the health impacts soon and a lot of the dangers and risks around it. But first, let's find out why people might want to get this done and why it's something probably best left for the pros. I'm joined right now by friend of the show, kink educator and pro-dom, Mistress Tokyo. Welcome to The Hookup.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I think that first question is a really interesting one because I was putting this to a lot of friends and a lot of people this week saying this is what we're going to do. And they were, like, crossing their legs in a bit of a, oh, really? So what is it about the act of sounding that gets certain people interested and turned on?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, certainly interested and intimidated. And also there's that whole being turned on. There's the fear and there's the, you know, the intimidating side of a piece of steel going inside your urethral channel. But what gets people turned on by this listeners at home are hearing me talk about, like, this very invasive procedure, which is inherently risky. Looks very simple, but it can go south very quickly if you don't know what you're doing. What turns people on would be literally the fact that it is so invasive. There is this very important part of your body and a key part of, you know, your body as connected to your eros, which is being invaded in a way that just doesn't happen. Unless you're in hospital, and most people don't want to be in hospital. So it's something so singular and something so particular. My goodness, I have seen some of the most stout people get very scared about just the idea of having this activity done. So what gets people excited about it is the fact that it is almost like a forbidden country getting penetrated inside your urethra. Wow.
Nothing ever goes in there.
Yeah. Like, what does? Like, basically, prodoms. Blessed be. So things go in your mouth,
Things go in your nose, things go in your ears, things go in your other innies, whatever sort of tissues of arousal you have, whether you like things inside your bottom, if you have like, you know, a vagina, whether you might think like things in your vagina, or whether you have some other sort of body, you know, if you're transsexual or you're intersex, whatever you call your tissues of arousal, if you put things inside there. But pee holes.
Nothing goes in a pee hole.
Guess
except
what? Today's news is
exactly
on the hookup. Things go in pee holes, and what goes in pee holes? Metal isn't like they make cars out of metal, and they make rocket ships out of metal, and they make sex toys out of metal. Really little ones that go inside your pee hole. That's so sexy and hot because, oh my God, are you not freaking out? I mean,
yeah.
There's probably people at home right now who are chewing on their Weet-Bix or going, what the heck out did she just say? And I'm sorry, cisgendered male people with penises, it's not just for you, it's for anyone who has a pee hole, which is most people. So if you're a cisgendered woman, if you're a trans person, if you're an intersex person, if you've got a pee hole, this is available to you.
Well, let's talk about the technique and the specifics. I want to first talk about the way that you do it with a penis owner because
sure.
That's what the workshop was centered around.
Mm.
Do you have to be erect to make it work? Do you use lubricant?
Oh, my goodness. You definitely need to use lubricant to make it work. That's for sure. Like, I think if you did not use lubricant, then you would basically be really risking damaging the person. And the workshop that I did yesterday was basically prefaced around a cisgendered penis, a penis owner, mainly because that's the majority of my experience as a professional sex worker and a dominatrix. The majority of my clients are penis owners. But certainly like the sound, which it should be medical grade stainless steel. It shouldn't just be any old little bit of metal. It needs to be a urethral dilator and not just like something you got out of, you know, Bunnings or somewhere like that. So there are actually devices.
Like a chopstick you found somewhere.
Yeah. Or also like, hey, the internet's is great, but there's a lot of Photoshop pictures on there. So if you see a picture of a beautiful lady's shoe and it's jammed down someone's urethra, maybe that's not actually real. So please just use the tools that have been produced for the job and nothing else. So you need to use sterile ones at that. Please don't just wipe them down with alcohol and not whiskey, like isopropyl alcohol. Please try to go to your local piercing place or your tattooist and get them autoclaved. Not available to everyone, but hygiene is very important. And the lubricant just can't be the stuff that you grab off the bedside for some roadside assistance with your protection of choice. It has to be sterile and it really needs to be quite thick stuff.
We'll get a little bit more to the how-to and staying safe and the hygiene sort of aspect in a moment.
Mm.
But I'm really interested as well in, you know, this whole, like, the why and being invaded.
Mm.
And I think we were listening to one of the sex workers who was at your workshop and who James spoke to in the package, talking about the idea of it kind of like any sort of kink or BDSM sort of play where you're resting control, like where you're giving up control and you're letting someone take control.
Mm.
Is it just a very extreme form of that?
I think it is a form of that. That's what I see is basically, as I said, it's an invasive procedure. And like if you were, just imagine if you were strapped down to a table by a person who you trusted where you had engaged with and set up an enthusiastic consensual arrangement and a safe container, and they came at you with a piece of metal and they were going to insert it inside your body, I would feel very, very vulnerable, and I would feel, and it's between your legs. You know, my goodness gracious. So it is basically about the giving over of the power. It is about the giving over of access to your body in a way that, as we've just discussed, doesn't happen any other way unless you're in the hospital. It's essentially like, you know, the combination of the invasion and this ineluctable vulnerability that gets people mentally to where they want to be and need to be to, you know, feel like they've had a scene, feel like they've catalyzed their emotions in a BDSM scene. And there's, of course, also, you know, the sensation in itself of which I apparently, and I obviously, you know, dear listeners, I don't have a penis. I have a whole collection of them. But my flesh is not of that body, so I can't say literally what this is like. But what I have been told by people who I've asked directly, it's like it can be a cold, hard, or even slightly stinging, burning sensation going deeper and deeper, and then the sensation gets lost because obviously there's less, you know, pain receptors down into inside the body. So there's a sensation of that which some people just they find that unique stimulation of that unique little secret place, they find that really arousing. And then, of course, there's the notion of the mindfulness that such attention, invasive attention to your genitals, the mindfulness that would come from having all of your consciousness focused on that part of your body.
Going through such an intense process.
Yeah.
We're talking about urethral sounding, or when you stick a little medical-grade stainless steel rod in your pee hole, and you could be a guy doing it, you could be a girl doing it, you could be a trans person or a non-binary person doing it. Anyone who has a pee hole can do it, but maybe you shouldn't do it yourself. Tokyo, can you tell us a little bit about the importance of getting educated if this is something that you're kind of interested in?
Look, seriously, education, information is super important with any sort of marginal sexual practices that essentially are risky that you may wish to enjoy. Particularly sounding, I think, the sounding kits are readily available. You can go to, like, you know, sexuality events, and you can go into sex stores, but it doesn't come with an instruction manual saying how dangerous it is.
And what can happen?
Okay, so anyone at home with a weak stomach, you can literally you can score the inside of the body, and you can create tears in essentially in a cis penis in the corpus cavernosum, and literally will it will not staunch quickly, and there'll be potential permanent damage. And of course, in any other style of body, you may have the same issue. Of course, with a cis penis, that vascular fleshiness, that spongy form, actually keeps, that's the thing that essentially activates the erection. That's a trip to hospital. So if you do actually wish to enjoy this activity, please don't try it at home. Please do not go out and just buy a kit and clean it up and throw it in there. Please go and go to a professional and either offer them a tribute for a session, a professional session, and get it done by someone who knows what they're doing and has the right equipment around cleanliness and the right safe universal precautions and right best practices, or go and do a course, or go and pay a professional person to show you how to do it. Please do not jump in with, 2 feet straight in, or just one big fat sound that ends up, doing more than breaking the mood. It, crucially damages your genitals. It's a risky practice, and it needs to be respected.
Yeah, and just quickly, like, if you are going to invest in your own kit and then have a professional use it on you or whatever you so choose, keeping those sounds clean is really important, isn't it?
And mandatory.
But it's quite an involved process as well.
Yes, certainly. They can't be sterilised through boiling or wiping with alcohol. They need to go through an autoclave. An autoclave is basically essentially sterilises using pressure and heat, and it's something that you would use in a hospital, in a dental surgery, or in a doctor's surgery, or in a tattooist, or in a piercer's lab. So please only do those things with a professional.
Mistress Tokyo, thank you so very much for joining us and educating us a bit on the risks and pleasures and risks of sounding.
My total pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If there's something you want covered on the show, send it in via the hookup at abc.net.au or via Facebook. Just search for the hookup on Triple J. Plus, if you're loving what you're hearing, give us a rating wherever you find your favourite podcasts. It'll help other people find the show.